This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
Okay, so welcome to the Funny Mummies December episode. I am Hattie Ashdown. Of course, it's lovely to have you back. And we're still following on with our new series of I'm now going to do a live jingle for you of Let's Get Topical, Topical.
Woo!
I want to get topical. Let me hear your mum chat. This morning,
yes.
Okay, where we're going to try and basically, we're not trying, we are, let's be confident, this whole thing of like women, oh, we're trying, no, don't be apologetic. We are going to talk, when we say topical, we're not necessarily trying to, like, you know, talk about what's in politics and news, just what's topical of this month. So that can be anything from childhood sicknesses to December being, we're coming up for Christmas. So, and to help me with all that, of course, it's not just me. Phew, thank gosh, you're saying. Joining me, of course, is Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
Hello, Gemma.
Hello.
I think the last one went quite well in our topical.
Oh, I didn't know we were evaluating live.
No, we're not. No. Let's bring in our special guest today. Now, she's special guest of the
panelist.
Panel. She's a good friend of ours, and she will be yours as well in a minute. And I don't know how she feels about me calling her a comedian, because she was like, oh, I'm not one anymore, but I once a comedian, always a comedian, really. And,
all right,
I'll
take that.
Okay, so, or you could say one-time comedian. People don't qualify to be a doctor.
Do you remember that one?
That one time I was funny, Gemma.
In 2011.
Did anyone record it?
Well, you don't become a doctor, do you? And go, well, I'm not a doctor anymore. Well, I guess
I think they can take you. If you
break laws or
shipmen,
you know,
and that.
Yeah.
No, but you didn't kill anyone, did you?
I killed him with comedy.
You killed the room.
You killed it.
She is, and she's writer, and I'm going to say refugee activist. Volunteer, single mum of one. It is the legend, Leela. And are you Boris still? Is that your showbiz name?
Let's go with Boris, and then we'll get to that. Leela Boris!
She's married now. Leela Boris!
Hey. Woo! High-fiving myself.
Welcome to the first time on Funny Mummies.
Thank you for having me, both of you.
And
it's very exciting.
I've got to turn my mic so I can actually face you, because I was like talking to the wall. And we've all had enough of that all week with our kids on my right. So welcome. We're in a lovely new studio. Shout out, because we're getting it at zero pennies. So a shout out to 21 Soho.
Yeah, it's lovely. I've looked in all the cupboards.
And what did you find?
I found some ladders.
Ladders. If anyone in Soho needs a ladder, there are about 4 to 5.
Wonder why there's so many ladders.
I don't know.
Well, we're in the basement. I guess they need it for rescue purposes to go up. We're in a basement.
They're going to need to rescue us because...
Oh, there's a cupboard over there with a lock on.
We were old. Oh, two sheets
ago. I'm about to focus now.
So, let's get topical. So, we're in December. It's flipping cold. The temperature has just dropped and it's ridiculously cold. People don't want to go out. I reckon there's loads of people just cancelling Christmas parties all over the shop, isn't it? And we are still in the cost of living crisis, so that's not a good combination. But I think what I want to really make the focus of, because even though I've had lovely Gemma here on this show for like a couple of years now. Is it a couple of years?
I think it's about four.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, time flies. Yeah. We don't really...
Wait, it's taken 4 years to get me on? What?
I know.
We ran out of people. We finally got to you.
We got through all the comedians and now we've got to go for ex-comedians.
Yeah.
She used to be funny. Get her on.
No, you're always busy, darling.
That's true.
But you're both legend single mums. So although we're talking about topical, I want to sort of make the thing of top of being single mum and that being the bed of the topicalness. Mm. So, well, if you're listening, you think, oh, God, don't talk about cost of living price, it's depressing. We're not going to make it depressing. We'll talk about it from a single mum's point of view. I don't know. I mean, whether you think it's making it, I mean, coming up for Christmas, I mean, do you think there's anything you're particularly holding back on? You know, that old money saving expert guy, what he was saying, don't give.
Oh, Martin.
Yeah, Martin, don't give teachers presents this year, things like that to cut back on. I mean, they've got a drawer full of I love the teacher mugs, don't they? They don't really need. Yeah. Well, anything like that you've been cutting back on?
I have been very close to telling Al that Father Christmas isn't real.
You should have put a warning before you said that.
Well, that's what the editor is going to do.
Yeah. She's close to telling him, even though it's not exactly true.
Just so that the reason that I'm going to tell him that is so, yeah. Do you know what? It's not so much the money, it's the admin of it. I can't bring any more plastic bits of shit in her house that he doesn't. Yeah. He goes, and then that's the end. Like, I can't do it anymore. And I don't know how to handle it because one makes a rod for one's own back by starting off at the age of one going, oh, here's a pillowcase.
Well, I'm a massive advocate of Mother Christmas. I've been championing this one since the beginning.
I don't know anything about Mother
Christmas. Well, because women, it's a bloody man, Father Christmas. Oh, so I've said to her from the beginning, yes, he does the delivery, but Mother Christmas is in the background getting all the organising done.
As always.
Making sure everyone gets everything. It's all wrapped. So she's like, thanks, Mother Christmas, every year, as well as Father.
Yeah.
Last year, I made a mistake. I'm not saying Father Christmas isn't real, but I did make the mistake last year of writing in my handwriting from Father Christmas. And she's a bit older now, so she was like, Mum, it's the same handwriting. Why?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so I know he's not real. So then I had to go into a hole. He is, it's just that he asked me to write...
The gift tags
because he was a bit busy. Mother Christmas was very busy as well, checking that list, checking it twice, etc.
So do you think this year she's fully?
Yeah, she's adamant he's not real.
Right,
and I'm relieved, quite frankly. Yeah, again, not saying he's not real.
And I think the magic doesn't.
In case there's any kids listening,
and it's just the magic is real. It's I don't think I ever believed that a man on a sledge was. I believed in a magic.
Oh,
I think I always believed in a magic.
I totally believed. But also, I convinced myself I would create these scenarios where I'd be like, no, because I saw his foot going back up the chimney and look at the crumb, and I would create these whole stories that he was totally
the bell. I was convinced I heard the bell from the sleigh.
I remember going up into my mum and dad's bedroom, finding every single present for Christmas.
Did you?
And in my mind, I was like, oh, of course he can't get all the presents. So mum and dad like bulk it out. He gets the moment. I was just, I found excuses every for my own indiscretion every time.
Well, warning in case any little ones are listening in the background. Yeah, I always make it that there's, it's not all of them are from Santa, which is what my mum always did. I don't know if my mum did it on purpose, but it was brilliant that the ones from Santa were wrapped in this sort of like thin tracing paper type paper, and the other ones from her or aunt, because you've got aunties and that stuff bringing presents were different and stuff. So I've sort of carried that on because it is crazy, isn't it? I think you want to keep the magic for Christmas alive.
I want the magic. I don't want the admin.
I don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everyone's struggling. So in a way, you kind of want kids to. I'm not saying you want to go, I mean, don't it cost a little. I'm not saying you've got to, like, really bring the kids down, but you sort of feel like they need to know. I don't know. I just hate all the greediness of Christmas with the kids,
OK, I'm going to do a tiny bit of showing off, but don't worry, I will bring it back. Last year, Dahlia said...
Here we go. Dahlia gave up all her presents for a refugee.
She did. No, I'm sorry.
Stop it.
She did. She said, I don't need anything. I want it all to go to kids that can't get anything. So we bought gifts and we gave it all to a charity that would give the gifts on to kids that don't have anything. This year, this is where I bring it back, I said, should we do that again? No, no, no. I did that last year. I wasn't
I'm going to be an arsehole for the rest of my life, mate. Yeah.
She's ticked.
I did it once. That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah. Because she got an award at school for the like a kindness award. That's, I think she got that award and she was like, done. I'll go back to getting my gifts now.
But you know what? Knowing you, of course she's like that.
Yeah.
It's just a completely natural, just like, oh, yeah, I'll do what I can. All right, come on now. Get on with it now, you know. Absolutely.
It's gonna.
What a darling.
Darling Dahlia.
That's what I call her, yeah.
Oh, but she's Dahlia. Like, well, how old is she now then?
9 and a half.
Yeah, that is the age to
stop believing. Yeah.
I was about 7. So, in terms of coming up for Christmas, how are we feeling, you know, the whole single mum thing? I feel like I'm being a language I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah.
Talk about how to talk about it, so.
Well, I don't know about you, Gemma, but the splitting the Christmases, that's always been a tough one for me. Really, I have found that very hard in years past.
Now, so you do turns. How do you do it then?
So what we decided was, one year she's with the parent that she's with for Christmas Day. If they get the pleasure of having Christmas Day, they also have to have her New Year's Eve. So then one parent, every other year, that parent gets to go out. If they want to, not have to worry about babysitters. So that's kind of how we've done it every year. Now, obviously, I'm remarried and I have two stepkids. So where we got to was we managed to sort it scheduling-wise. It's all about scheduling, isn't it? Scheduling and lists. Scheduling and lists, a bit of that admin. So where we got to was one year we'd have the blended family all together. The next year, kids would be with their other respective parents. So my stepkids with their mum. My daughter with her dad. So that's how we did it. So we've
got a nice rhythm.
Yeah. But now my stepkids are 20 and 18 and a half. I know they're basically grown-ups. So that's why we're going on holiday this Christmas, because we're like, that's our last chance. Because for 10 years now, I reckon, they're going to be off with their mates, doing their own thing. It'll be their choice. We won't get to, like, you know, tell them they have to spend it with us.
Yeah.
Probably then they'll get partners and then eventually they'll have kids and that's when they'll come back to us. But so this is like our last one as a family, as a blended family. So that's what we're doing this year.
And Dahlia's with you this year.
All three kids with us this year, yeah. And we're very excited. But the Christmases when I've not had her, I have found them quite hard to the point where I'd be like, I'm not sure if I want to see my sisters and their kids because it's a bit, reminds me of not being with my, it's like that. It's like that little pain in your tummy, you know? Yeah, it's not very nice.
Didn't you volunteer one Christmas when you didn't have
her? No, that's the thing. That's what me and Rich, my second current and forever husband.
But all right, Liz Taylor.
I did say forever on the end there, just in case he listens. So that's what we got to. We started the year that we didn't have the kids, we would go abroad and volunteer. So I've done two Christmases. Because COVID got in the way, obviously, as it did for everybody. Done two Christmases in Greece in, like, volunteering in refugee camps in 2019, Christmas of 2019, and then Christmas of this last Christmas we were there as well.
Yeah, I get that.
Go abroad, do something totally different, giving back, not thinking about, like, being with, not thinking about not being with our kids.
Yeah. Nice. Do you, like, speak to her on Christmas Day and stuff like that? Yeah,
definitely. Like... Yeah, but when we're there, time is different and the home, like, thinking about home is a bit different. Like, every day that I'm volunteering feels like about 10 days squeezed into one, because it's just very...
Intense.
There's a lot going on. And so then we're just very focused on what we're doing. There's obviously loads and loads of kids in the refugee camp, so... Just sort of like putting our efforts and focus there rather than thinking about our own kids. Just sort of switching them, really. Forget about ours. Think about someone else's. Yeah.
And for those that know, so this is in Greece that you mainly do your... That started back when...
Shall I do like 2 minutes quick explanation? Because otherwise it's a bit bitty and people don't really know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So when the civil war in Syria started, I mean, it's not really a civil war, is it? But when the regime started bombing in Syria, and there was that mass movement of Syrians out of Syria, in 2014, I think it was the first time I went. I went across it's been years now. I went over to...
They must know you at the airport. They must be like, oh, is she?
Here she goes again, yeah.
Get her oat milk.
So I went over to Lesbos Island because I knew that was one of the islands that a lot of people were arriving at. So they would get to Turkey and then cross the Aegean Sea over to Europe. So one of the Greek islands, and then from the Greek islands they'll go to mainland Greece and then hopefully get sent on to a new kind of host country where they can stay and try and get back to having a normal life with the kids going back to school and stuff like that. So the first time I went was Lesbos in 2014, and then I've been pretty much at least once, sometimes twice a year since then. And then probably like the fourth or fifth time, Rich, my then boyfriend, now husband, current second forever husband, joined in. And
that's
so
lovely that he's
he's got on board with it. He sort of, you know, just really wanted to find out what I was up to and what was going on. And then I said, if you come with me once, you'll come with me forever. And then that's basically happened, yeah. So then we've been sort of going back ever since, really, trying to raise a lot of awareness back home, raising funds, and then using the money to give directly to people that need it.
I was going to ask you about the money because I love to give when you're over there. I love it because of the direct nature of it, right? So you're out there, you're going to the shops, and you know there's photos of you on social media with carry bags full of stuff. And so it just feels like such a great use of money, right? I love it. I love to see you out there.
We're independent volunteers. We work with like a network of independent volunteers who I've known for years now. So some of them have now established themselves as NGOs or kind of like quite small, very independent, reactive charities. Mm-hmm. So they've got like charity status. But what that means is we can cut through all that bullshit. Are we allowed to swear? Sorry, I just swore. Sorry, everyone.
No, it's like we always say we try and keep it low just in case kids are listening in the background, because I always like the idea that people can listen. No, but it's fine. I'm just saying we'll try, but it doesn't always happen.
No.
Go on.
So we can cut through all that like red tape, having to follow kind of specific rules and where it goes. And I mean, the reality is that when you give to a very well-established sort of global charity, it is a business. Mm. And sometimes as 0.01 pence of your pound will go to the cause. Now, that's not like a hard and fast rule. Yeah. If you think about the bigger global charities that we're all very familiar with, it can be in that region. That when people give me money, all of it, goes directly
to the cash point, and you literally can go to
the cash points, draw cash out, and pass it on, or take people to the shops, or my volunteer groups that I work with. I'm going to give them a little shout out if that's all right.
Course.
One's called Refugee Biryani and Bananas. You can look that up. I work with Ruhi, who's from Morpeth in the northeast. She's basically moved to Greece and she lives there. And
Morpeth is where my family are from.
Really?
Yeah, anyway. It's
a small world. Yeah. Great people from Morpeth, I have to say. Or the one that I've met. Anyway, she's great. and then there's another one called Love Without Borders for Refugees in Need.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, they do like art therapy for children, art parties, getting kids to kind of just because it's like relief from camp life, taking them to the park and just getting them creative and drawing stuff and letting them be kids again. So those are the two that we now directly affiliate with. Every time we go, we work with either of those, sometimes both, and then the money that I raise gets sort of funneled via them to the projects on the ground that they're working on, and that is things like food for people that need food. So yeah, it can be very immediate.
So
that was a bit longer than 2 minutes, sorry.
Well done. And so just briefly, where, because I'm just fascinated. Because, you know, we all remember the images of like them living in the sort of campsites and stuff, and there being like hundreds and hundreds of. Where are they at now then? Like you're showing pictures, you're sort of like going into these houses, what looks like houses anyway, you're buying shopping. And I'm like, well, what happened to all those hundreds of refugees?
They're still there. They're still there. So you've got refugee camps that are very much like kept out of like your mainstream media.
Right, that's what I thought.
On the peripherals, there's a few just outside Athens. The ones that I have been to are, there's one called Ritsona, which is just outside of Athens, and then there's another one in Chios Island, which I've volunteered at there a lot, and that's called Vial. They're actually they keep threatening to shut Vial down and open up instead. I can't remember the name of it. It's basically like a centre where the standard of living will be slightly better, but you basically sign yourself over and you're not allowed to leave. So it's basically like signing up to be queen
of prison. Like what we've got here.
Yeah, pretty much like that. So there's still thousands and thousands of people, families, single people, all ages living in these refugee camps. But one of the Love Without Borders, that group that I mentioned, what they do is they work to understand the most vulnerable in those places.
Right.
And they had some funding, a private donor, who helped them to buy a house that they renovated, and they've turned it into small flats, like studios. Mm. And now they'll take the most vulnerable out from there and put them in these houses just to give them respite and to help them to just escape camp life.
So vulnerable, kind of medically?
Coming back to our topic, usually single parents with like small children.
Wow, I mean, well, there must be a lot. You know, that's a naive opinion of mine, is that, you know, they're going to have lost husbands in
and war. Also, they will be sometimes in different countries and they can't be reunited. Sometimes it could be that one of the parents is no longer here. There are different sort of circumstances to it. Often the man will go first somewhere to try and kind of get established, to send for the family.
Yeah.
What we have to remember is there's a big difference, because the media uses the word migrant quite a lot, which is very misleading, because these are not migrants. And even if they were, if I was from a country where I had absolutely no opportunities, I would want to leave, wouldn't we all? So even if you are using the word migrant, I think that's okay. Mm. But these are refugees. They are running from a war-torn country.
Seeking refuge.
They are seeking refuge. Yeah. It is safer to leave the place that they are being, where they are being bombed, and go somewhere where it's completely unknown, and just have continue to hope that things will get better. So often the man or the sons will go first and then the rest of the family will follow. But what's happened more and more in more recent years is that even if that man isn't established, the rest of the family is following, because they've got no choice, because they've got to get out of there.
I feel like I wouldn't want to be left. I'd be like, oh, just coming with you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just to keep together.
Yeah.
I feel like, Lily, does your writing head ever just feel, oh my God, there's a play, there's a story in this somewhere of this love, yes, guy
absolutely.
That's left.
Yeah,
you've
for sure.
Write that, I reckon.
Well, I've booked the half term. I'm sending her away. No, she's going to spend the whole February half term of her dad.
Lovely.
I have booked this little cottage in the middle of nowhere, and I'm going to go and shut myself away for 7 days and write and just see what happens. I don't know what I'm going to. People keep going, what are you going to write? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'll wait and see. But I want to. Yeah, I want to get the old creative juices flowing and
just
see
what
comes
out. Just get some writing prompts and
I bought The Artist's Way. I actually bought it like 10 years ago and then lost it. So I bought the book again. So I'm going to start
that is
the practice, the
way,
daily practice. And then I'm going to, for anybody that doesn't know what The Artist's Way is, it's a book by Julia, I want to say Cameron.
I've forgotten her name.
I can't remember her name.
Or is that David
Cameron?
Who
can't even Google?
Is that David Cameron's
name.
Wife?
It's quite an intense book.
Yeah.
It's a writer. They say it's not just about writers. It's about anybody who wants to change something in their life, and particularly in a creative way. So it might be that at the end of it, people decide they're going to start this haberdashery business, or they're going to start this. But it's always sort of something towards a creative way. But
it's unlocking, isn't it?
Unlocking
creative ideas.
And if you just don't know where to start. So it gives you little prompts every day. But it's quite a lot every day to do. But yeah, so
we'll see.
That's great. Okay. Before we change angle a little bit, so we were talking about Christmas, so we've given ideas for any mums that are on their own.
Go volunteering.
Kids, go volunteering. I mean, even if you can't get yourself to Greece, I mean, obviously there's loads of stuff.
Soup kitchens and stuff.
I mean, I do find that if all else fails, just buy a big old bag and put it with socks and then drive to central London on Christmas Day, because I have done this in the past, just walk around. Because you will find homeless people on the streets on Christmas Day and they haven't got anywhere else
to go. Invite them in.
Give them a pair of socks and make their day. No. I'm sick, and I hope that didn't sound patronising. I definitely didn't mean it to. But
no,
it's just about,
don't.
It's all about connection, human connection, one-to-one connection.
Yeah.
Saying something. And this is what it's like when I go to the refugee camps and when I'm volunteering abroad. It's being able to let someone know, I see you. Mm. I, you know, you're here. you haven't been forgotten. It might feel like that, but you're not. We see you. And so, you know, that's why me and my mum have done that a couple of times. Just driving.
Well, your mum is brilliant, and so are you. And I've been out with you lots of times when gone past homeless people. And either you might know them because you've walked past them before and you've got talking to them, but yeah. you are an inspiration, mm-hmm. even just to me, to like, you know.
Oh, well, I'm coming back on this podcast, that's for sure. Can we just all keep talking about our fabulous thank you?
Because I always think, oh, just, you know, even if you've not got any money, just give them a bit of your time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
the whole thing of not letting them feel like they're just. Yeah. I saw there's an app now, and if I can't find it, because I've got no flipping signal, but I'll put it in the comments.
Yeah.
There's an app. Did you know about this?
Tap for the homeless.
If you see somebody who's homeless, you just message whereabouts and da-da-da, and there's like this, I think it's been put together, crisis team.
Yeah.
And I mean, particularly at the moment, because it's so freezing.
Yeah.
So you put, if you someone you've spotted, and particularly if, again, come under the vulnerable thing, you know, and they're saying, you know, if they're over 18, if they're under 18, call the police at the moment, because it's so cold.
Yeah.
And there might be a missing person or whatever. We've got a little bit serious. I'm sure Gemma's going to bring it lighter with Christmas plans.
Gemma, what are you doing for Christmas?
So Gemma, talk about the cold. I got shamed, mum shamed by my own son this week.
Why?
So I go to pick him up from the childminder, and he's got no coat.
Oh, no.
And she said... So he said he said that he didn't get sent to school. He got sent to school today without a coat.
That's what he told the childminder.
That's what he told the childminder.
But that's not true.
Of course, it's not bloody true. You were like, is it true? Is it?
Yeah, but
I mean, I'd be a little bit hard sometimes.
That hardened him up.
And I said to him, I said, where's your coat? Where is your second coat that I've bought you this school year?
Oh,
it's so just like, and he just still stares at me, and it's just like in this kind of like, how angry is she going to be? It's just like, it's on my peg, and I was like, okay, why haven't you got your coat?
Yeah, and how did the teachers let him walk out with no coat on?
Oh, look.
Okay.
His teachers, he could be on fire, and they'd be like, oh, there you go, hand him up. Like,
oh,
they just
really?
Don't give him monkeys anyway. So yeah, it's on my peg, and so I thought, why is it? Why haven't you got? It's freezing. He was like, "We're just so rushed."
Oh, bless him.
So anyway, there you go. I got bloody, and he bloody lied. Said that I'd sent him out in the -4 degrees without a coat.
I got a little bit of like mum shamed as well the other day by Dahlia, because you know, every year they design the Christmas cards, and you have to. Another thing to pay for, another form. You have to print something off and sign it. More admin, more lists.
And I've noticed, I don't know about yours, but they do the school photos around this time, obviously because they think, oh, it's a great Christmas present. But then you're like, it's another expense,
another
thing, give to us.
Another thing, yeah.
And they're horrendous, I'm sorry, but they're horrendous.
Well, this is what happens.
Every year I say I'm not going to buy them.
I felt terrible because she said, you never ever buy my Christmas cards, mum, and every year I design them. And I was like... Because they're not. Anyway, so I said, okay, fine, I'll buy it this year. So she's drawn a picture of the sugar plum fairy, which I learned because she had to explain it to me. And the sugar plum fairy's got one arm up over her
head.
But the thing is, it doesn't really look like an arm because it's a fist, but it's not really a fist. So I've actually got them in my bag. I will show you.
I can't wait.
It's very phallic looking.
Oh, brilliant. That's what I was hoping you were going to
do. So you know when you've got a flower and you've got the bit in the middle of the flower that comes out, like the long stalk with the little bulbous end?
So it looks
quite a bit like that. So I'm writing these cards out, and in every one I have to put, just in case you're wondering, that's an arm.
That's an arm.
I have to keep writing that inside the card.
But that's what you want. You. If you're going to buy them, they've got to be either really, really terrible.
Absolutely.
Or rude. And
it's rude.
God bless, my two children's were just, quite good, really. It's
like, oh!
It's boring, isn't it? Although Buster's, Hux is quite good at his artwork, isn't he? but he was, I think they were doing a competition for it as well, and he was like, I've got it.
In the bag.
Like, he literally was so confident, but he didn't. But Buster, he's a little bit like, people can't work out what he is, so I guess that is a little bit, but So, So, Gemma, single mumness for Christmas this year. How are you?
Okay, I know so my situation, is different to Leela's in that is that Dad is not set up to have Christmas as Dad.
Yeah,
and so it's been. So I've been lucky. Yeah, quite.
The advantage to that is
no, exactly. I don't have. Yeah, it's exactly. It is on me, and I'm in charge, and so that's good. And instead, I have a his dad will come round in the morning and give inappropriate presents.
Massive
things in my house.
More plastic.
More just and massive bits of plastic instead, and then he goes. But it's and then with COVID, we had the one Christmas where it was just me and my mum and an owl, and that was, I mean, that
intense.
Was it. It wasn't, you know, it was just like, oh god, why are we bothering? This is so shit. It's just
pulling a cracker.
Exactly. Oh god. But otherwise, there's lots of cousins around, and so like, I don't feel like a single mum on Christmas Day.
No.
And also, it's that thing as well, which is for me always an advantage of not having a partner is no arguments with my partner because I don't have one, which is fantastic. It's not this. Can you just do it? Can you just get a bin bag? You know, there's none of this.
Like, because I have just read
your mother.
Yeah, you don't have to do any of that.
I've got no mother-in-law.
Ah, yes.
I feel like I've been trying to sort of almost do research on this because, like, obviously, you're both my friends, and I've been reading Helen Thorne's. Get Divorced, Be Happy, and I would say, like, there was parts in it I really, you know, you do that thing like with someone who's grieving or whatever where you go, oh, god, I hope I was a good ally friend, you know. There's different times in the book that I went, you know, because she's really good at giving you tips and stuff and stuff you're doing, and sometimes it made me feel bad because I was like, oh god, I hope I was this and I hope I was that. But yeah, she talks about the decision thing, and I do think sometimes, particularly now, my youngest, all he wants for Christmas, we can't get anything out of him, that he just wants a pet.
He just
really wants a pet. And Alex, my husband, is like putting his foot down and saying no. And I was like, please, can we just do, like, I know Buster is a different type of child to our oldest. He will help with things like clean out. He's quite practical in that way, and I think he's thinking of our oldest. Who wouldn't help. But Buster is the if I'm cooking something, he's like, I'll help mummy. Like, he's quite practical. And I think he would help with clean up. So my husband's point of view is like, yeah, dog, I understand. We haven't got a big enough house.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of work.
Cat, again, I want to move to a bit of a bigger house. We can't put a cat. I want a cat flap. I don't agree with house kid cats living in the house.
Yeah,
I
think it's cruel. Don't, in the house. Yeah.
And the litter tray.
I know. The litter tray.
No, they stink.
Well, it's just like any of us having our, you know,
exposed
toilet. I've just left my poo there in the living room.
It's the scratching when you can hear just the. Yeah.
No. And we had a cat growing up, and she was like a wild cat on the tiles, you know, and that's what I want. So we've gone right down. I'm Googling easiest pets.
Stick insects.
And it does come up. It's either guinea pigs or a hamster.
Right.
Right. And he was like, no, hamsters, like, they're just awake at night and they're like,
they're scratchy noise.
And I had a guinea pig and they were a really easy pet. And they are, you know, you can sit there and stroke and cuddle them.
And
you've
got to get two, right?
That's the only thing you've got. So it comes down to a rabbit or guinea pig. But yeah, preferably two. They get a bit lonely.
And then if one dies, then you got to replace and you feel like you're actually going to be
can
on
I
this.
Just not you're just going for
it. Well, you know my show. I obviously talk about it in my show that, you know, one dies, the other one dies of broken heart, literally.
Oh no, but at least they die together.
Well, at least they got both gone then.
Yeah. But
how quickly after?
What are you talking about? Six months?
It was like, this was like a day later. My ones when I was little.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I heard it go. Anyway. But he's like, no, we've got, you know, it's all the cleaning out. Yeah, we'll end up coming down to us. So that sort of thing, I'm a bit of a softie and I would just go,
just get it.
And that's where I'm like, it's driving me mad on decisions and there's other stuff as well. But I will say, my sister rang me today and she said, I'm getting him a fish for Christmas. And I said, yeah, do it. I think you'll be all right with the fish.
Yeah.
So that he's going to have a little fish in a fish a little, tank.
Right, okay.
And obviously...
just on the table.
No, just in a bottle of wine. And, you know, and yeah, it'll be his own little thing. We'll see. We'll hopefully build up to other things.
Where do you go from a fish? What's the hierarchy?
Well, I think summertime I'm going to try and talk him into the guinea
gateway
pig.
Pet. Gateway pet.
Yeah.
So you think guinea
pig. It's the gateway pet.
Because what people
it's
also...
It's the marijuana of pets.
It is. It is.
This is my way in to persuade him it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Is that in the summertime, what we loved our guinea pigs was you move them in their little pen, you move them around the garden and they cut the grass for you.
Ooh.
Like a goat.
Like a little goat.
Yeah.
But they, I, do you know when you're like...
One inch at a time.
I don't know. You grew... little square at a time.
You've got to get tiles.
Timer on your phone.
I know, my husband will go.
Move it 1 inch.
I'll just get the lawnmower out.
Like, don't! No, because the guinea pig's on the grass. Yeah.
Or the other one, but they're illegal now, is tortoises. We had them.
Oh, yeah, they're illegal
now. My mum had a tortoise, and she lived in a flat. It would end up in the allotments.
Clever.
And I was like, how?
Must have taken him days to get there.
And
it was so desperate for some green life. He was like,
exactly, in Tulse Hill. And it would have like crawled down the stairs.
Wow, that's a clever tortoise.
I know. I said, how did they know it was yours? She was just like, oh, well, my dad just used to find it there. And then last night she went, do you know what? He probably took it there. After like 60 years, she's gone, oh, no, hang on. No, that doesn't make sense.
Father Christmas isn't real, is he? Yeah, I've just realised. Yeah, he's not real. But they're doing that with pugs as well, aren't they?
They've
banned them, sorry. I did a bit of a leap there. Unlike a tortoise. Pugs are becoming banned. Because of the breathing issues with the face.
Yeah. I agree with that, though.
I do as well.
You hear them, don't you? Someone's got them on their lap or something, and they're like, you know, behind you, and you can just see this.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's as the mother of a pug and a pug cross, I can vouch for that. They are very noisy.
Yeah. But going back slightly to the sort of, that's not having to have a man to, you can make decisions.
Partner.
Man, woman.
Co-parent.
Non-binary. Yeah. Are they waving us to get out?
I don't know. They're just hovering in the glass.
We're going to just do another 6 minutes anyway.
Actually, we're just doing another 6 minutes.
Yeah, six minutes. I just hold like six fingers up to them in a minute and they'll think, oh, God, blimey. Two things I thought it made me think of. I know that you're meant to, I don't know about you, if you were brought up with women that were always like, oh, it's, you know, you just got to learn to manipulate them, you know. Let them think it's their decision.
Totally.
I just haven't got the energy for that, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there's a lot going on and you're busy.
Yeah.
This is why I keep thinking, I know if my mum was still alive, she would be saying, oh, you know, you just got to do this and tread carefully. And I just want to go, look, please can we just get him a pet? Or please can we get a trampoline? We've got a That's the other issue. They want a trampoline in the garden. And he's like, it's just messy and it ruins the grass.
He says no
a lot, doesn't he?
Mm?
He says no a lot, doesn't he?
Is he no parent? Are you the ex-parent?
He has recently. Mm. He's becoming... it wasn't always like that, but I think he's become the no parent. His mum said, oh, he's going to get like his dad, being a bit grumpy, you know, getting old.
No.
But yeah, I think I'm just going to do what other aunties have wind up, which is just ignore and blame it on someone else and go, I don't know where this came from. I just delivered this trampoline.
Buy a trampoline and say Gemma and Leela bought a trampoline. The end.
You know what I did do? I got so angry one day because they've both got Amazon Christmas lists, the kids have, to send to relatives. And I always say, you don't have to get it from Amazon because I know Amazon's not great, but I say it's just a guide. And I put a trampoline on one of them. My sister did say, I would like to get the trampoline, but quite stretch to that. I was like, no, I just put it on there because I was angry one day. But, you know, my oldest, you know, he's being tested. It looks like he's on the spectrum of ADHD. He needs to go out and bounce.
And burn all
he does not stop bouncing.
Yeah.
And anyway.
What was the argument? Dangerous.
He's our garden is very small, and he's right.
Would you can't see much from the house into your garden as well, can you? If I remember right.
No, so we would.
There's that as well. Like you can't quite have eyes.
No, I get his argument, but I'm like, they never go out there because it's small and they find it a bit boring. But I'm like, if they had the trampoline, they would go out there because they love it. Every time we go around someone's house who's got a trampoline.
Well, my sister's got one of those sunken trampolines, which are great. And so what I did was forgetting that I'm a woman in her 40s weighing a certain amount.
Oh, no. Yeah,
no, I didn't piss myself, not this time. Oh, maybe a little bit came out, but I was too distracted by the utter pain that I caused myself by doing a seat drop and smashing my coccyx on the ground.
It went that low, it went to the ground.
Yes, because of my weight. Because of how much I weigh.
You dig very deep,
as in, I'm not a 4-year-old. And I, honestly, 3 years. 3 years of pain. I couldn't walk properly for about 2 months.
Surprised.
And then, like, even now, it is about twin, 4 years ago. A little twinge every now and again.
Sorry,
yeah.
But they should have dig deeper.
Every time I see it, I think, oh, God, that's sick.
God.
And how do you, so the present thing, you don't have to worry, but you were saying about getting plastic rubbish, Gemma. So how do you communicate the present thing with your other half then? Do you, like, I understand this must be one of the hardest things. You break up, you're like, you know, you're always going to have to be in communication because you have a child together until, I guess, really, they're 18.
Yeah.
There will be less communication.
Gift perspective.
What do you do? Do you say, oh, she wants a bike, I'm getting the bike, or how do you do it?
She's kind of done it for us. She's kept it all quite separate herself. And I do think that she is a very emotionally intelligent child. And that is, let's just say that's the positive, one of the positives to come out of all this. She's very, sometimes that's not great because she takes on board things that she shouldn't because she's a bit too young for it.
I know both of you have said that you feel your children are quite
they become responsible.
Grown up.
They try and become responsible for you, don't they?
Remind me, how old was your daughter when?
1.5 when we split up.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. And that was a factor in the timing of the split. It was, this is inevitable. Let's do it before
she remembers.
Before it, you know, before she remembers us together.
Yeah.
Well, that was my decision.
Thinking,
my thinking anyway.
She doesn't
I don't
know any
if
different.
But so from a gift perspective. But also what I've noticed is that again that emotional intelligence, that social intelligence. I will get one list which has rather larger price tags on it, and then there'll be a much smaller list of easy to purchase, simple things for the other
that
parent.
But he's got, he has got the less money.
Yeah,
hasn't
and so now I have sometimes said, why don't you ask your dad for that? Like, you know, because she knows that's not going to, you know, it might not happen.
Yeah.
And so I'll try and, like, you know, help her to push some of it in that direction. But yeah, we haven't really had to have kind of conversations of I'm getting this or you're getting that.
I just wondered how that worked. I wonder whether
is it the same?
Obviously, again
Gemma sighs.
For the benefit of the listener, Gemma's done a big sigh.
Stop. It's bad enough me having to think about what for me to get him. My mum wants to know what you get, what she should get him. Ask him yourself.
Yeah, why have you got my? Why have you got to decide? Why have you got to tell
exactly,
them?
Yeah. So don't even.
Okay.
Don't go there. Next question, Hattie.
We was going to try and make it a bit topical. Now we've got 3 minutes to make it a bit topical.
Strictly Come Dancing!
Strictly! Quickly finish up on...
Three minutes on Strictly, go.
Helen, Strictly still going. Feels like it goes on forever. I do love it.
Which I love. I love that it goes on forever. Why is it not on all year round? I would watch it all year round. I love it.
Well, we actually, funny enough, last episode we spoke a little bit about Ellie Taylor, who's a former funny mummy. She's still a funny mummy, but as in she's... No, she's not been on this podcast. She's been on my... club, Scream with Laughter Club. And she's now left, hasn't she? But Helen Skelton is still in there and she is a single mum.
Yeah.
Boom! Connection! Can't say we don't connect. And going back to your story, Gemma, about the coach, she did say in her an article recently about... she got three kids.
Three children.
Holy moly, cockamamie. And she's...
Ernie, Louie and Elsie, I think it is. I mean, I definitely am not a bit obsessed with her.
I was going to say, a bit of a fan.
Mega fan. I just think she's brilliant. Well, I mean, I think, you know, from the little that we know from the press, I think she's been through the bloody ringer. And she's, you know... on that show and smiling, and I do find that very inspirational, actually, that she went through all that tough time. I don't, you know, again, did reading just... between the lines, was that a decision she made to become a single parent? No, I don't think so.
No.
I think that she was left. And that must have been
Don't know.
We don't know that. Well, of course we don't know. I'm speculating. No. But and either way, it must have been really
hard. And I think, learning from Helen Thorne's book, I think the reason why they don't say is to protect their children.
Children, of course.
And I get that now.
Yeah, for sure.
Because from an outside, it sounds awful, but we are gossipy. And we're like, oh, what happened? But now I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I'm going to protect the children. But I still want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, but every week she's smiling and she's a brilliant dancer. Did you see the one last week? She's the Fosse number.
I think for
fantastic.
Sort of, I didn't see that one. I think for ticking the boxes of progression, I wouldn't say she was one of my favourites at the beginning, but she has grown.
She, oh, yes. Yeah, Gemma's like, do you watch it?
I can't bear it.
Turned to my right and saw her face and thought, hang about, we've lost her.
This is why we are giving all sides.
Absolutely. I'm fine listening to you talk about it.
Do you not like it at all? Or
I can't bear it.
What don't you like about it?
Everything.
Do you know what? I have such a hatred for Bruce Forsyth.
Oh. He's dead now, darling.
No, but it's still, he's there.
Yeah, his spirit. Yeah,
no, but I love the whole Claudia and Tess thing. It's powerful women. And...
No, great. I'm just not into.
I mean, it's a bit ridiculous that it took that long to get a prime time family show with two female presenters, right?
Yeah.
That didn't actually happen until, 5-6 years ago?
No,
that's just jokes. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it's there, finally, and I love that. And they're great at their job. So I could actually... Oh, only 2 minutes. I could literally do that Strictly. Can we just do a Strictly special? I love it.
She sent me that article about. We'll just finish up on. She says that
Helen.
Yeah. But I think this applies to every mum, but particularly single mums, I guess. Is she talks about that there's no me time. The me time is the work time.
I definitely felt that when I was first became a single parent. I went to work to be me and to get a break from being a single parent. And pre-daughter, the commute was the arse of my day. I hated it. Post-child, I was like, an hour on a train. Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Okay.
I might put some makeup on without someone going through my makeup bag. I might stare out the window.
Might have a takeaway coffee.
I'll have a cup without it getting spilt on me.
Yeah.
Might go and lock myself in the toilet and have a peaceful wee.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait. I loved it. And I was like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on the train because it was just a bit of time for me. Where no one even knew that I was, you know, a mum or a single parent or going through it. It was like, oh, I loved it.
And you said hard relate. You said to me,
hard relate.
Gemma,
I just think of like work is me time, and that's you know, I mean, I've got my problems with overworking and stuff like that, but it certainly is, yeah.
Which it shouldn't be, really. Yeah. I mean, I keep reading all these books, girls.
Al, this morning I said to him, I've got to go and do some housework, and he said, what's housework?
He didn't.
He said, what is housework? Anyway, he said, it's the weekend. I said, when am I going to wash your clothes?
Yeah.
When am I going to put some bleach down? I don't put bleach down until I got cleaner. That's what, you know.
Yeah.
But you work all the time. It's like, I do.
I've been reading. I know it sounds like some kind of like, oh, wishy washy thing, but it wasn't. It was this brilliant book. And now I can't find the title of it. But she talks about, she's this mum, and I think she was inspired. It's something about how to stop yourself from drowning or something to do with housework and stuff. But she doesn't like the word housework. She doesn't like the word chores. She calls it self-care. Because she says, if you think about it, like, you're washing your clothes, it's self-care. And I like the way she breaks it right down to the littlest things. And she talks about her lowest time, having two small children. I do think she's very easy on her husband, by the way. But anyway, that's not my topic. About how she couldn't even clean her teeth. Find time to clean her teeth. So she brought herself a massive load of, and I will write the name of the book in the comments, of this, in America, she's American, so I've never seen this before, where you can get these pre-pasty toothbrushes and put them by the front door so that she would at least clean her teeth. And I was like, That's genius. Yeah. But like, that's where I loved her because I was like, you don't want this kind of like, yeah, I got my life all together. Now I'm going to tell you how to get yours. Yeah, she has been, but she talks about like going to work is not me time. You've got to actually find some me time. Yeah. But when you're single mum legends like you two, it's not always possible. We've got to wrap up. People are literally scratching at the doors like zombies. I'd like to say thank you to 21 Soho for letting us have the studio.
Thanks, 21 Soho.
Thank you, 21 Soho.
Thank you to FA.
Thanks to FA.
Thanks, FA.
And thank you to Gemma Beagley.
Thanks, Gemma. All right, mate.
Thank you to Leela Boris.
Thank you, Leela Boris.
And thank you to me, Hattie Ashton.
Thank you, Hattie.
For listening. And thank you to our lovely listener that sent me a message, which we don't always get a lot of those, because I get it, people are busy mums and listen to them. We don't have time to comment on things, but she went to the trouble of emailing me. It was so lovely and it really, really means a lot. And if you're listening and you've not done this, do a bit of charity today and send us a message. Because we need it. Keep subscribing and tell your friends. It's the only way people find out about us. And we'll hear again from us in January. Have a lovely Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. All right, okay, bye.